Hello, Jonathan. Great to be with you.
Hey, Seth. It's good to hear your voice.
I'm just going to get right into it, just like we did the other week.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
What would you do in this particular situation? Would you want to play 10 instruments adequately or play 2 instruments at a professional level?
I feel like, I don't know that I'm at adequate level, but I feel like I'm pretty close to the playing 10 instruments adequately. I'm just looking around the room that I'm in right now.
I wrote this question thinking of this.
Yeah, I think I could see about 6 instruments in this room. I don't know if I'm quite to adequate yet, but I can like make noise on purpose with at least most of them. And I kind of like that. I kind of like being able to jump in a number of different ways. When I was really involved in worship music at our church in high school, I got to the point where I was kind of the utility player. Somehow I ended up playing drums one week and was literally only going based off what I had learned playing Rock Band and was okay.
I respect that. You know, I think I would do the same. Like, I would play the 10 adequately. Just because I think it'd be fun to sort of bounce in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than, I don't know. I feel like if you only have 2, it's like, would you ever get bored? Maybe eventually.
Maybe.
But
my thought as well is, I don't know. There's a lot of spaces in my life where I feel pressure to like try to be the very best. And music is one where I feel like I am enjoying how like good I am. And I don't say that like how good I am, but like the level of proficiency that I have, I enjoy. And I enjoy getting to hear other people who are like playing far more advanced music or advanced styles than me. And I also like when I'm playing with those folks to be able to kind of give them the platform to launch off of, too. That's fun for me.
I appreciate that. I'm not very musical, so it would just be cool to play 10 instruments.
We might not have time for 10, but what are 2 that you want to become adequate at?
So I played the saxophone, but I was like never that good at it. Like, I was probably adequate, so that would be... But I haven't played for, like, years. So, saxophone, piano, guitar. These are the classics, but then I want to have some, like, weird ones. Like, the didgeridoo.
Okay. I did just ask for 2, but that's fine.
I thought you said a few. That's why I thought I was just keeping going. I had a friend in high school.
But I'm glad the didgeridoo got in there. He bought a didgeridoo.
And then he took a day off of school to, like, learn how to play it. I mean, not, like, to be that good, but he was like...
But just, like, literally make noise with it.
He was like, I need a full day to devote to the didgeridoo. And I respect that commitment.
Hey, you know what instrument you are professional level at? That's the mouth trumpet. It's amazing. That's so good.
That's true. I'm a professional at that. Well, I'm glad we talked about all that. Because our readings for this Sunday seem sort of like a hodgepodge of texts. In Acts, the Holy Spirit descends on Cornelius and his household while Peter's preaching. And Cornelius is a Gentile, so that is like really unexpected for the Jewish believers who are there. Then in 1 John, John talks about genuine love for God's children, being rooted in loving God. It seems like, to be honest, this is just like sort of a classic 1 John text. And then for the gospel reading, it's John 15, 9 to 17, and Jesus talks about what I would call the reciprocal nature between him and his disciples, that he loves them and they love him. So I wanted to think about our psalm, because I love the psalms, but I feel like if I'm honest, I've spent a lot of my time preaching and talking even to you about biblical texts. When I'm the one who leads the discussion, for some reason or another, I always feel like some type of pressure to talk about the gospel. I don't know where that comes from, if I'm honest. But this week I want to...
Probably Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. But this week I want to talk about this psalm. Because this psalm is just like pure joy. I'll read you just a couple lines from it really quick. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills sing together for joy. It's so celebratory, it's so, I'm tempted to say, fun. It's like imaginative. The sea's roaring and the floods are clapping, hills are singing. I've sort of like a big question for us this week. Well, I'll say two. The first is how we can incorporate more varied and joyful expressions of praise into our worship. And then the other one is how we can also incorporate praise into our daily life. Like, it's one thing to think about it in the context of church services, but I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about like what it looks like to bring it home, literally. Okay, so let's, maybe I'm going to throw the first part at you.
Okay.
Can you think of a worship experience that utilized like maybe instruments or songs that you don't normally associate with worship that you really enjoyed?
There are many that are coming to mind. But what I will say, so I grew up in spaces that I think would be most often described as more like contemporary worship spaces. Like, I'm much more accustomed to having worship led through someone on piano or guitar, someone playing the drums based on what they learned from rock band. This is the spaces I've been in most often. And so I set that up to say, actually, one of the things that has been surprising to me recently has been how much I've enjoyed the music of a pipe organ. As I've connected with a new faith community that almost exclusively uses, not exclusively, but it's like playing hymns on the organ or on a piano for worship each week. And I'm actually thinking about Easter Sunday. So our music director, we had the choir, they had like a brass, either trio or quartet that was playing with the organ, which was just like this overwhelmingly majestic celebration of the resurrection. But at the end of this service, in the tradition that has started for our church recently, which is very interesting, of people actually standing for the benediction or other things at the end, but then sitting back down for whatever the postlude is going to be, the church sat down for more than 7 minutes of the Toccata from Symphony No. 5 by Charles Marie Widor. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I should look up. I don't know how many. I don't know if someone's counted how many notes are in this toccata. This is the fifth movement in this symphony. And it's just 6-7 minutes of constant fast notes. And it's this song that's been played for a long time at Christmas and Easter celebrations or at royal weddings. And it's just this magnificent use of the instrument. And, of course, the musician and their skills, too. But it's one of those pieces that you're like, oh, that's what this instrument was made to play. And this beautiful, incredible music just felt like it was almost blowing us all away, kind of making us sink back into our pews. And it ended. And there was, like, this collective deep breath. And then just, like, uproarious applause. And it was just this moment of grandeur and celebration that I just hadn't experienced in worship, especially through music, before or much in my life.
No, I love that story because I love the organ. Weirdly. I think the organ is clearly the king of instruments, the ruler of instruments. It's just like there's no other instrument that can make as many sounds and can play so loudly so easily. Like you can deafen people with like a pipe organ easily. It's incredible. And then you can also play so like daintily. Like you can play these little like it's just amazing to me. Like
Yep, the variety is
yeah, it's just
incredible. I will say that there are probably some keyboards that can make more noises, but you're absolutely right on the
yeah.
volume.
It's amazing.
What about you? Do you have any situations like that?
Yeah.
Surprised by instruments that were used?
When I lived at the seminary, we had a pipe organ, a really nice pipe organ. But every once in a while, we would get out, we called it the box of toys, and they were like all little like shakers and like a cowbell and like all this like just like we like really like toys that are like probably for kids. And we would like use them with the organ to accompany the organ during the hymns. And it was so much fun. You'd be there knocking on the cowbell and like somebody be like had like a maraca and like, it was so cool. Usually like just a cacophony. Like there was just like so many sounds and like the musicality went out the window and it was just like how much sound can we make with this at the end? But it was also so fun. We were all adults at this point. And I remember it being awesome. Like we would get out the box and we'd all be like, yeah, I got the tambourine. Like it was so cool. So that's mine. I mean, with you and with your story and the organ and like with the toy box, it just reminds me of like how fun it can be. Like hearing the organ just play so fast, right? All these notes. And if you ever get to watch organists, it's just incredible because I love watching their feet move. It's so cool. I'm like, that's like one of the most amazing things to me because I'm like, maybe I could master, not master, maybe I could play with my hands, but I would have no hope with my feet. So like all the fun there and just the fun of the shaker toys and things. It reminds me how much fun music can be and how we can bring that into our worship environments for everybody, right? Not just for people who are playing, but we can make it fun to listen to for the congregation, and we can make it fun to participate in. You're thinking really hard. What are you thinking about?
I am. I'm trying to think about, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a either or. It doesn't have to be a WWYDITPS kind of question. But I'm wondering about which of our experiences that we just cited is more like what's described in the psalm. And honestly, I think it's yours. And I
It's just
love
like a
that.
mess, basically, like just a lot of noise.
And I love good music. I love sacred music, choirs and beautiful orchestras and all of these expressions. But sometimes you just need to sing. Like you can't really hear your own voice and you're belting out a karaoke song that just shouldn't be heard. That's something I really admire about my sister-in-law, is that she can't sing worth a lick. But she sings with gusto every time, no matter what. Even if we're just watching a TV show, the subtitles are on and some music plays in between some scenes, she sings along to the lyrics that are showing up on the subtitles. She doesn't know the melody, she's never heard the song before, but she sees it as an invitation to sing along. And having even experienced this dynamic in church before, where in a relatively small church, her voice was the loudest and probably the most off key. But I think that's what it's about. It's about not waiting for proficiency, not waiting for mastery to engage in praise.
That makes me feel a lot better because I'm also not a good singer. There are parts of the Lutheran liturgy that you can elect to sing, But when I supply preach different places, I always tell everyone the same thing. I'm not going to sing it because you would either be deaf by the end or wish you had been deaf from the beginning. Okay, so we talked about how fun it can be, and maybe that leads us into our next point. Like, what does it look like to try and bring some of this praise home?
I don't think I can fit a pipe organ into my car.
Okay, I know one person who has a pipe organ in his home. But you're right. One would definitely not fit in our townhouse. But a keyboard might. Some shaker toys. What are instruments that you could play adequately, but people would be impressed by? Like, they'd be like, that still sounds cool.
I think there's a lot.
What's your instrument that you have at your house that you're like, I'm okay at this, but everybody's like, whoa.
Might be bass guitar.
No matter what you play, I feel like people are like, whoa, it's like Seinfeld.
Right.
Yeah, like no matter what.
That one's there. I do not feel that way about how I play guitar. Maybe sometimes piano. I think of the weirder ones, though, it's probably for me the mandolin, just because It's already a small instrument, but when I hold it, it looks even smaller.
Sorry, I shouldn't be laughing like this. Okay, I can see that. Yeah, so maybe that's like one way to bring it home. It's like to play, I don't know, to like try and play worship songs, even if you're bad at it, to just sort of let it flow sometimes. Mm. Like, not to worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's why, like, a lot of people enjoy singing in the car and the shower.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's nobody around. Belt it. And then it helps in the shower that you sound a little bit better. But.
And I think in the life of faith, Seth, there's more than just singing or music that this can be really relevant for, too. I was saying before, like, you don't have to wait for adequacy or mastery to be able to try. I think that's part of the elements of praise too, is embracing and embodying the reality of God's world in different ways. Yeah. And so we might want to wait until we feel more comfortable to reach out to someone who looks like they need some support, or serve or volunteer or advocate for policy changes. But you can't get good at those things, or you can't become more comfortable doing them, if you first don't try them and have at least some willingness to suck at it.
Admittedly, I'm not very good at that.
Oh, doing things you're bad at? Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm very comfortable sticking to the things that I'm already good at.
Yeah, same.
Maybe there's an opportunity for us in there somewhere.
Well, Jonathan, it's been awesome talking about music with you, despite my lack of musicality and your bundles of it. Will you pray with me?
Yeah, let's pray.
Glorious God, your creation sings your praise with its unique voice. Join us with critters microscopic to massive to praise you with our harps and our offbeat clapping hands and our whole hearts. May we sing together as one, as you, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are one.